What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 119. Today, we're going to be finishing our series with Heather Shepherd, the author of The Sunlight Prescriptions. This is part 3 of 3. And we're going to go over all the parts of The Sunlight Prescription. So check it out. Hope you guys have liked the series so far. You know, we had a real good time interviewing Heather. But first, the article of the week this week is called Diet Modifications, Including More Wine and Cheese, May Help Reduce Cognitive Decline, Study Suggests. And you can find this article at tntwellnessandnutrition.com if you're interested. But Tom, you want to just break that down real quick?
Yes, this study came out of Iowa State University, and it was published in the November issue of the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, the November 2020 issue. And this study is a little interesting. So it's done by Iowa State, but it's done looking at research and data coming from the UK. So it's a little bit confusing. When I, like, the first time I read the study, it took me like 2 or 3 read-throughs to get actually what was going on. So the study was looking at people, about 1,800 participants, ranging from 46 to 77. They took 3 cognitive tests. The first one was done between 2006, 2010, somewhere around there. 3 years later, they do another cognitive test, and 3 years after that, they do a third and final cognitive test. And these same participants, they also filled out like food questionnaires. We've talked about food questionnaires many times and how they're not the most reliable information, but they came out with some interesting findings. The first one is that cheese was by far the most protective food against age-related cognitive problems. The second one was daily consumption of alcohol, especially red wine, was also correlated with cognitive improvements. And weekly consumption of lamb, but not other red meats, was another protective food. And the only finding that they showed that had like a negative correlation was excessive salt consumption.
Yeah, I think these findings are pretty straightforward. I think, like you said, food questionnaire data, I'm never the biggest fan of, but honestly, sometimes that's just the best info you have available. You know what I mean? It's hard to run controlled double-blind studies. So the excessive salt coming back as a bad thing, I think it'd be 2 things in my opinion. Like, there are a subgroup of the population that is salt sensitive, and they do respond just poorly to high salt diets. And we've talked about that in our, we have a whole podcast on salt. So we've talked about that in on that podcast if you want to learn more about that. But I also think that could just come from processed foods. Because obviously when you process foods and you put them in a bag, you put them in a box, the salt content, you know, doubles every time. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think it has a lot more to do with salty foods and, processed foods. Like potato chips, french fries, stuff like that. It's not the salt. It's the fried vegetable oil and the grains and all the other things that are being fed to you with the salt.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
The cheese one I found pretty interesting, and the red wine consumption. But the authors pointed this out, which I'm glad they did, is they said rich people tend to eat more of these foods. So they're not making the leap or the conclusion that red wine and cheese is actually protective. They do say that more studies need to be made. And yeah, they point out that, hey, rich people do tend to eat more of these foods. So it could just have to do with like socioeconomic status and not these foods being protective. So I'm glad they pointed that out, because that's the first thing that came to mind when I saw cheese and red wine were associated with cognitive are inversely connected to cognitive decline.
Yeah. No, that's a great point.
Obviously, you're going to have an overall better diet.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a super great point. And it's a point, like you said, a lot of people don't even make, you know, you see a lot of these studies who make these real broad declarations after some shit study, and they never actually say like, well, it could also be this. So it's nice that the authors did that as well. Yeah, we have a podcast on Alzheimer's, and it's a Keto for Alzheimer's, I think. So if you want to learn more about that, you can. It's a honestly terrible disease, like one of the saddest things you see out there, you know, when your loved one completely forgets who you are, or who they are even. So if you want to learn more about that, you can. You can find that on the website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com. But yeah, you have anything else to say about this article or no?
No, I thought it was pretty straightforward. I mean, it has a catchy headline, but when you actually get through the study and like actually read it, you know, they do clarify some points. But yeah, overall, I liked it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, don't be afraid of cheese. Don't be afraid of wine. It's fine. Or lamb, or any meat, really, let's just be honest. But but yeah, so let's get into part three of the interview with Heather. Like I said in the intro, we actually go through her sunlight prescription this episode, and she kind of just teaches us the right time of the day to be in the sun, what the effects of the sun are at certain times of the day, and how it's important not just to be in the sun at random times throughout the day. Like, if you really want to get the full power, the full healing powers of the sun, there is a system to it. There is a methodology behind it. So listen this week and learn, and hope you guys like the series.
So step one of the Sunlight RX, it's exposure to morning sun. Does that include when you're going to do your sun gazing?
Yeah, so step one, that definitely includes you're out there, the sun's rising, you're out there watching the sunrise. Hopefully you're out there just as it's coming over the mountain or the horizon, depending on where you are, and you do your sun gazing for the first, you know, 10 to 60 seconds. Often people actually can't look directly at the sun or even in the direction of the sun when they first start the Sunlight RX. And some people, they don't move forward with it. They quit. They think, oh, I just am sensitive to the sun. But because we've become accustomed to living indoors so much, we've actually developed an artificial light toxicity and a sunlight deficiency. So our eyes need an adjustment period as you, you know, build up your Sunlight RX practice. Your eyes will adapt to the sunlight, and that could take time. So if you're hearing this and you're frustrated, if you go out and you try it, and you're like, ah, I can't do that. Go at your own pace and know that the more you're outside and the more you're in the direction of sunlight, the more you take out your contacts, your glasses, your sunglasses, your eyes will adapt. And you want to give your body a grace period to adapt to that.
Okay, nice, nice. And then have you heard of the photobiomodulation, the red light therapy? Like, what do you think Yes. about that as like a replacement for that morning sun?
That's a great question. And my answer to every person who asks that is that you cannot biohack the sun. So if you have a choice to go outside and watch the sunlight or to be inside doing your photobiomodulation, 1,000% of the time I'd say to go outside. Reason being is because there is red light present at sunrise, but there's also blue. And we tend to think of blue light as bad, and it is detrimental when it's coming from the artificial sources. But when it comes from our native light source, the sun, this actually is very, very important, this combination of red light and blue light. You'll always find that combination in sunlight. And there's very, very important physiological reasons for that. And one is that red antidotes blue. So that's another thing. We're inside. We have no red light. We're just getting blasted by blue. We're not designed to operate in that way. But in the sun, red and blue are always found together. So that red makes sure that we're not getting over bombarded with too much blue. Now, blue light, however, starts this release of cortisol from our anterior pituitary gland. And so by watching the sun rise, you're going to get red and blue, the natural blue spectrum. And by seeing that color combination from sunlight, you're going to be doing some very, very beneficial things for your physiology and for your hormones with that cortisol release that starts right from sunrise. And cortisol release actually, the more you're in sunlight, will increase throughout the day, because the more this is building you up. This is another ingenious design by nature, because the more cortisol, a healthy amount of cortisol in your blood, by the time that vitamin D UVB light shows up, the more cortisol you have, then the less you're going to burn. Cortisol is like the antidote to sunburns. So I would say, like for many of my clients, I teach them how to use the photobiomodulation device in the winter months when sunlight goes away in their area. If they can get sunrise light, I always recommend that over the photobiomodulation, because of the color combinations that are present there that just aren't present in those devices.
You know, this might be a dumb question, but how long would you technically define like sunrise?
That's a good question. It really depends on the time of year. So like, for example, in the summer months, if we're like in the heart of summer here in Arizona, literally the sun rises around 5 a.m. and the red light, this is astonishing. This actually is what convinced me to move to Arizona, is literally for much of the late spring, summer months, you literally have this red light from about 5 a.m. till about 8 a.m. Mm. That is like a massive window. Now, not every, we don't have to be outside in that long, but if you have a chronic issue, that's like one of the best medicinal, natural things you can do for your health and for your healing, whether you have cancer or diabetes or whatever. So it depends on the time of year. So, you know, for you guys, I'm sure it's a bit more foggy up that way, and maybe you don't have quite as sunny sunrises as we have here in Arizona. So it's really going to vary depending on your season and your climate. So right now for you guys, I would guess, is the sun rising around 7-something, or are you still in the 6s?
Do you know? It's in the 6s.
Okay, so for you guys, usually a ballpark range for how much red light is available is from sunrise, whatever time that may be for you, till about 8 a.m. That's kind of the window for the predominantly red light availability before the UVA light starts to come in.
Okay, that's a good recommendation. Yeah, so now you know, a little clarification.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we talked about the early morning, so what are the benefits of like the later morning sun, or step two of your Sunlight RX?
Awesome, yeah, okay. So step two, which is UVA light, ultraviolet A light, this is a very, very interesting light because it does some pretty amazing things to our physiology. Some of those are, it triggers the release of dopamine and serotonin, especially when that light interacts with your eye clock. That's really, really huge. And so anyone struggling with depression, seasonal affective, any mood imbalance or constipation, because dopamine and serotonin help to move the bowel, the food down the tract, this is a really, really important light spectrum for everyone, but especially those individuals to get. It triggers the release of dopamine, of serotonin. It helps to stimulate the production of T3, thyroid hormone. And this is the time of day where we start to recycle our melatonin stores. So a lot of people think of melatonin as the nighttime hormone, and it absolutely is. It's released from the pineal gland 3 to 4 hours after dark sets in, which is why it's really important to make your living space dark when it starts to get dark outside. But what is less known is that when that UVA spectrum comes in, this is how we recycle our melatonin stores. So basically we recycle those stores, and then they hang out in the pineal gland until 3 to 4 hours after darkness. And this is one of the most important molecules in our body, melatonin. It does some very, very, very important things to our regeneration, to our healing and regeneration programs, to our sleep. And so a big way for anybody struggling with metabolic or hormonal issues is you really want to get that melatonin recycled. And UVA light is the time to do so. Now, here's the thing, and this might be like a total downer for some people, but as I said, there's this chronological order to the sun and to the sunlight RX. And so your ability to be in step one in the sunrise light is going to determine how well step two works. So if you skip step one because you're hungover and can't get out of bed or whatever, or you did too much CBD and you can't get out of bed to watch the sunrise, then you're not going to get that same stimulus, the dopamine, the serotonin, the melatonin, the thyroid hormone. Those processes cannot happen, or at the very least cannot happen as well if you skip step one. And so that's kind of the whole outline of the Sunlight RX. Each step depends on your ability to do the step before it, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, that makes total sense, because like our ancestors wouldn't have had a choice. Like they were outside all the time. Like they can't skip step one. Like they were outside, the sun came up, like, you know, it's not just gonna rise in the middle of the day. So yeah,
exactly.
It makes total sense.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Just kind of like just living where we do, during summertime, it hits 100 degrees pretty much all summer. Sometimes it gets up to like 110 where we're at. So just naturally when I do stuff outdoors, like I have to start with the sunrise. So it's just kind of, good to know that I'm doing the right thing. Cause I'm like an ultra runner. So I'll go and do like, you know, 5 hour runs on weekends occasionally. And yeah, it's like good to know that that's why I'm not getting sunburn out there. It's because I'm doing steps one, two, and three while I'm out on my run.
Yes, that's awesome. That's really awesome. Yes, very cool.
Yeah. So we talked about the first half of the day. So what about the early afternoon sun or step three of your Sunlight RX?
So in step three, that's when the UVB light comes in. And the UVB light is the light you make vitamin D in. So, you know, a lot of people have the misconception that just if they're outside in sunlight, they can make vitamin D. But that's actually not accurate. You need the UVB light in order to make vitamin D. You literally, and here this will lead into your whole cholesterol and statin talks that you guys gave, but you literally need LDL cholesterol plus 312 nanometer light, which is that UVB light, in order to make vitamin D. So all those people who are really going for low LDL cholesterol levels are totally shooting themselves in the foot, because they're restricting their ability to make vitamin D. So this is why we see people with cancer, they typically have LDL levels, not all of them, but a lot of them have LDL levels below 200 in our, you know, American units of measure. Mm-hmm. So this is, it's very important. You need several things in order to make vitamin D. And it's so important because vitamin D is so important for our physiology, for our metabolism, for our hormones, for our weight. Literally, there's studies that are showing over and over and over again, the higher your vitamin D levels from sunlight, not a pill, then the lower your chance of all-cause mortality, meaning your risk of death from any cause drastically drops, the higher your vitamin D levels are from sunlight. So this whole picture, this whole Sunlight RX, the first steps are setting you up for this UVB step, for your ability to absorb and produce and assimilate vitamin D from sunlight. So this is a huge step, because the more UVB light, you get the better body composition you have, meaning obesity, struggling with overweight conditions, type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetic stuff, all of these things drastically fall with the more vitamin D you're able to produce in this UVB light. And so you want to make sure that you, when you go out in this light, you're not going to get a sunburn. Now, I'm not concerned with sunburns causing cancer. I'm concerned with sunburns blocking your ability to produce vitamin D, which that will cause cancer. The sunburn itself, I mean, people get burned all the time from fires, from things that we don't say, oh, they're going to get cancer. You know, and the studies linking sunburns to cancer is absolute crap done under fake light. So, so your ability to pump out vitamin D, you need the LDL cholesterol, which you guys talk all about, and you need adequate amounts. You need your LDL receptor to be turned on in your liver, and you need the 312 nanometer light. And then you need that whopping dose of red light in the morning, especially if you're on the lower Fitzpatrick scale, so you can absorb the vitamin D and not burn. So this is like what everything is leading up to, is this UVB light, which the window in the summer, again, this is going to go away for people in the northern hemisphere. We're 7 days away from returning back, moving back towards the light, meaning literally we're getting closer to the UVB light showing up again. For you guys, it'll probably show up around April 15th. For us in Arizona and much of New Mexico, it'll probably be here, you know, late February, March. So, and then that'll last till about, you know, you guys about August 15th, and for us probably about, you know, October 15th or something like that. So the key here is, if you live in an area where you don't have UVB light all year round, this is your time when it starts to show up to build your stores, so you build up a surplus. So when you go into winter and there's no UVB light available, you have this resource that you can call upon. And so your body doesn't suffer and struggle with things like flu, cold, psoriasis, autoimmunity, you know, depression during the winter months. So the whole Sunlight RX really is based on the leading up to this moment to how do you pump out more vitamin D.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on, I guess, sunscreen and skin cancer a little bit, because we have actually a whole podcast on sunscreen. So if anybody wants to check that out, yeah, you can go to the website and find it. But the short and sweet of it is, we're not fans of sunscreen. And it's just, if you look at the, like you said, the studies with actual sunlight and cancer, 90% of it's BS. And, you know, it's just, it's crazy that that narrative is so, I don't know, so entrenched in our culture that people walk outside with umbrellas when it's sunny. Mm-hmm. And it's sad.
It's so sad. And, you know, I don't know, maybe you all mentioned this in that podcast, but, you know, when sunscreen was invented in the 70s, our rates of skin cancer have gone up 2 to 7% per year since the introduction of sunscreen. So that should tell us right there that the shit doesn't work.
Yeah, that's your answer. Yeah, we 100% talked about that. Like, the data is there. Like, if this worked, those numbers would be the opposite.
Yeah. And there's also a lot of studies showing, and we know this with diseases like MS, the higher latitude you get, the greater your risk of MS. Why is that? Because the higher up you get, the less UVB light you have throughout the year. But if you, and we see people who do studies of people who live in the tropics, people who live in sunnier places, and, you know, they're actually outside, they're not inside on their iPhone or whatever, they're actually outside, they have the lowest instances of cancer, of type 2 diabetes, of heart disease. There's a whole list of these studies. And the whole thing goes back to your ability to make vitamin D, that all of these things go down. So if that UVB light were so dangerous, then the people who weren't getting it would be the healthiest, and the people who were getting it would be the sickest, and it's the absolute opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Preach.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just crazy how beneficial vitamin D really is. Like, it just, every time I read something on it, it's like, oh my God, it does this now, it cures this. It's like, it's so important. And I think it's probably the most, like, deficient, like, vitamin or nutrient that, like, people are in. Because it just seems like, I mean, right now with the whole corona thing, it seems like everybody that's having a serious outcome with that, low in vitamin D. Cancer patients, low in vitamin D. Diabetes, low in vitamin D. It's like, it seems to be the problem with pretty much every single major disease out there.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's a huge issue, but we want to divert the attention to a mask and to, you know, all these other things, where we're not looking at the root of the issue, which is people are inside. Now the kids are at school inside. We're not going outside. We're told to shelter in place, etc. And we're literally feared into the thing that's going to help us the most, which is, you know, being outside. And it's really cool to see more people are going outside and, you know, doing things at this point. But I think it's absolutely accurate that that's a huge part of our healthcare. That we've literally been taught to block with sunscreen, stay indoors, etc. So I think it's going to be a huge part of, you know, people who have higher vitamin D levels. They're either not going to get sick, they're not going to get things like COVID, or if they do, they're going to recover a lot more quicker than other people.
Yeah, like we like have purposely avoided talking about COVID because it is so political, you know, and our opinions aren't, they're definitely not like what the governor's saying. But if you think these recommendations to stay inside and wear a mask 24/7 or have anything to do with our health, you're lying to yourself, because it's just not, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's not based on any real science. It's not based on our ancestral roots, that's for damn sure. It's not based on, if there was a pandemic going around, they'd be outside, they wouldn't even get it.
We were way stronger.
But I couldn't agree with you more. We're really looking in the wrong direction when it comes to approaching this thing, you know. So I'm on the same page with you guys.
Yeah.
Well, I know one thing that, like, doctors used to do, you know, like, I think even 100 years ago with certain diseases, they would put people outside in the sun, and I don't know why we lost that practice. I mean, sometimes people just thought it was, like, the fresh air that's going to help you with this contagious disease, but it's like, maybe we should keep people outside as long as the weather is decent all the time. So, like, hey, if you do have an infectious disease like the COVID, hey, at least it's going to get spread out outside instead of in a small room. And now you're going to increase your vitamin D levels because of all the sunshine that you're getting. But I guess that makes too much sense. I guess that's too smart.
Yeah, it's too smart. We can't do those things. Nuh-uh. No one's making money off that.
That's right. Sunlight's free, so that's not going to be a winner at all. It's really not going to be a winner. And I think this just boils down to how back-ass words or, you know, our medical system is, you know, if somebody has something, we can say COVID, we can say cancer, we treat the disease, and we've stopped treating people. And there's just a really awesome saying. What is it? It's more important to know what sort of person has a disease than to know what sort of disease a person has. And Hippocrates said this, you know, and it's like, if we can just start treating people and not the name of a disease, we would have far better outcomes. So we can apply that to whatever somebody's experiencing. I totally agree. It all goes back to sunlight, being outside in a natural environment. And, you know, I think that it's not going to make anybody any money, though. So they're not going to promote that.
Definitely not. And that's just the crux of it, yeah.
Come on, Jeff Bezos. Yeah. All you got to do is just patent the sun and you're good.
Yeah.
<That's true. laughs>
All right, so we ran through the first three steps of the Sunlight RX. Let's talk about the step four, the sunlight or the sunset exposure.
Okay, so this is one that I consider a bonus. So, not that it's less important that than the other steps, but if you totally dominate the first three steps, you will win when it comes to your health. If you're chronic in your practice, if you get outside and if you do the first three steps, you will absolutely notice health benefits. If you get to the sunset and you're able to be in sunset light, this is primarily beneficial for getting your circadian biology, your eye clock, the clocks, the circadian clocks located in your skin, which is called your melanopsin system. These things are going to help prepare you for one of the next important step when it comes to your health and healing, which is the release of melatonin. So we've talked about this a little bit, but as soon as your body, meaning your skin and your eyes, detect through their clock system that it's getting dark and that nighttime is coming, this is going to prepare your body to release melatonin at the appropriate time. So you're able to heal, you're able to regenerate during sleep, and this is probably the biggest benefit of sunset light, is that it's literally just telling your body what time of day it is. Okay, this is a huge shift. The sun's going away. We're going into the darkness. And so it aligns your clock systems with basically the time of nature. And this is the biggest benefit here when it comes to sunset.
Okay, good. So yeah, it just primes your body for sleep. I mean, that's a great benefit. I wouldn't say that's a bonus. I'd say that's pretty essential.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, but it's going to be, you're going to antidote that if you go inside and you look at it. If you don't, you know, I would encourage you to learn, you guys, your listeners, to learn how to turn their screens red, you know, how to get really good quality blue blocking glasses, what kind of lights to use inside your home so that when nighttime comes, all of these amazing benefits that you got from your Sunlight RX practice throughout the day actually hold and stay in place, you know, so you're not inside at 9 p.m. watching Netflix with unprotected eyes or with the, you know, Wi-Fi blasting that's going to throw everything out of balance. So
you recommend blue light blocking glasses at night pretty much for everyone?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I like the company Midwest Red Light Therapy. They have a great set of glasses called, I think they're the Night Prowlers. They're the Night Prowlers. They're literally the most affordable blue blocking glasses and the best quality I've used. You can use the code SunlightRX at checkout to get a little discount, but they're great. The only thing about them is you can't put, if you need a glasses prescription, I don't think he does that yet. Kyle, the guy who runs that site and the product, he's awesome, and he's got a lot of really good stuff over there. But I love his glasses, and I wear them anytime I'm around artificial light, whether it's at night, if I have to go into the grocery store, if I have to go into the post office, which their lights are just atrocious because I spend so much time doing the Sunlight RX. I don't want to destroy it by, going into a place like that and doing my shopping or at night. If we choose to watch something, you know, I'm always protect the eyes for sure, as well as the skin. So we didn't get a chance to touch on this much in this episode, but the skin also needs to be protected because the melanopsin system, the clock system in your skin, is also susceptible to artificial light damage.
Okay. You know, when we're done here, shoot me a link to that guy's website, those glasses, and I'll put them on the post too so people can link it there.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
That'll work.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the whole, you know, trying to avoid the bright lights, especially at night. One piece of advice I just heard in a different podcast, I never even really considered, but especially during winter months, if you have to, like, go to grocery stores or, like, drug stores or anything like that, do that during the day or as early in the day as possible. That way you're not exposed to those super bright lights at nighttime to completely throw off your, like, circadian rhythm. That's something I never even thought of. That's, like, very, like, practical and good advice. But I was like, wow, that's, you know, makes total sense.
I love that. I totally agree. I think that's great advice. And if it's the summertime, even more of a bonus, because then you can go outside and offset anything that might have gotten thrown off when you go into those places. So, you know, there's ways to work with these things in the modern world. We just have to learn how to do so, because we've been taught such, you know, basically crap, and we've been surrounded by it. We don't have to fear these things. There's a lot of ways we can work with them just by deepening our understanding and knowledge about, you know, things like light, Wi-Fi, and box stores with fluorescent lights and so forth.
Yeah, well, Sara, you've been super generous with your time. We've taken up a little more than we thought we would, but let's just finish with one more question.
Sure.
Yeah, so you've given us lots of great advice, you know, blue light blocking glasses, getting sunlight exposure first thing in the morning. But do you have any, like, recommendations that our listeners should start doing today? Like, what's the biggest piece of advice you have?
Really good question. So I think the biggest piece of advice I have is one, to practice the Sunlight RX and really develop a practice there as a big part of your self-care, healthcare practice. The benefits that you'll notice from doing that will likely blow you away, just like my brain injury. I had no idea, you know, 3 months in and 90% of my symptoms were actually gone. I think you'll notice a really big difference. And when you practice, you want to be as naked as a baby. So your skin and your eye clock systems really get a big dose of medicine. The other thing is that I would say is to not to underestimate the power of light. And that's artificial light, that's sunlight. Your body was designed 3.5 billion years ago to be optimized to sunlight. And so today we have a lot of different light forms and spectrums that we're inundated with. Don't underestimate what that can do to your body, because it can do some very detrimental things to the body. And we focus a lot on diet and supplements and even exercise, and not that those things aren't important, because they absolutely are, but if you do all of those things really well, but you are working under blue light or living under blue light or you know, getting blasted by artificial light, a lot of those things you are going to be anecdoted, and your mitochondrial health is really going to struggle. So the biggest thing I could say when it comes to your health care is to put light at, really, if it's not at the top of the list, very close to the top of your list when it comes to improving your health.
Yeah, I think that's great recommendations. And it's just, in today's world, people aren't going to, they just don't have that perspective. You know, they don't think of light as such a powerful tool to harm and to heal. You know, it goes both ways.
But
I think that's great. And especially for someone like me, you know, I pride myself on lifting weights, on eating clean, on taking correct supplements, that type of stuff. But the sun, I try and get outside in the sun, but after, you know, reading your book and talking to you, there's a little more to it as far as, you know, the sunlight prescription, like you said. So I'm going to try and follow this as much as I can, and hopefully I'll notice a difference.
Yeah. Hey, do you guys know of Kelly Starrett up in your area?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. I just wanted to throw that out. He's a very big CrossFit guy in the San Francisco area, and he's got amazing stuff. I love his work. And I just wanted to throw this in here because you mentioned that you're big into working out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent my first 23 years, I think I was basically living in a gym under that light. Mm-hmm. So he's an amazing guy. He's got some of the most, I think, helpful things to say when it comes to working out. But he just blew out his knee. And this guy, he's amazing. He's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the body, when it comes to regenerating the tissues, etc. But we see a lot of guys in the CrossFit world who look healthy on the outside. They're buff. They're friggin' six-pack. They're ripped. But when we look at their hormone panel, when we look at their engine, their mitochondria, it's totally blown out because they're doing all this work under blue light. And when you're under blue light and you're exercising and working out under blue light, you create a different, your mitochondria create a different kind of free radical. It creates a singlet state versus a triplet state. And what this means is you basically look amazing, but your engine's hollowed out, which increases susceptibility to injuries. So we see all these awesome athletes getting injuries because they're working out under fake light. And so their engine is producing basically dirty fuel. So if your audience is into working out and CrossFit, which I think those things are amazing, I'm huge into those things, but work out outside. Do as much of your stuff outside as you can, or in an environment that isn't artificially lit. And I can only bet that you're going to see astonishing improvements in your performance and in your health.
Well, I mean, that's Tom, right? Everything you do is outside, damn near.
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of running outside, and like I'm constantly walking my dogs outside. I'm the weirdo that'll be wearing shorts, a tank top, and flip-flops while I'm walking my dog in wintertime while everybody else has a beanie, a scarf on, like the biggest jacket that they own. I get the weirdest looks when I'm like outside, but I'm just like, I can deal with being a little cold for like an hour or two. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. I love it. That's awesome. That's perfect. I love it.
Well, Heather, I mean, thank you for coming on. I mean, this was like a wealth of knowledge. I mean, you're very well-spoken. I appreciate you coming on and sharing this with us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's just kind of awesome how it worked out and how we connected on Instagram. And I think you guys are doing some awesome stuff with your audience and your life, and I totally support it. And you know, it was a pleasure coming on. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks again, Heather Shepherd, author of the Sunlight Prescription. Or is it Sunlight Prescription or Sunlight RX?
Your preference. You know, I call it the Sunlight RX, but it means the same thing, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you for just being passionate. I mean, it sounds like you could talk about this, like, all day. So thank you for sharing your time with us.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Thanks so much.
Have a good one.
You too.
All right. Okay, that's the end of part three with Heather. Hope you guys liked it. I thought it went well. Tom, what do you think?
So much great information in this podcast. It was such a great interview. I'm glad we had an opportunity to do it. Thank you, Heather Shepherd, again, for giving us your time for this.
Yeah, so it was, thank you, Heather, again. Yeah, like Tom said, that was very nice of you to give us so much time and so much information, honestly. I mean, that's a beautiful thing about the internet these days. It can connect people all across the world from all different interests, and obviously our interests align. You know, we're very pro-sun, and she's obviously very pro-sun, so it made sense that we would kind of get along. But it's still nice to, you know, connect with various people. And something that did come up in the podcast was EMFs and electromagnetic fields, and we might do another podcast with Heather in the future about that. Like, I need to personally do more research on that topic, and I've always wanted to. So it's nice that I have somebody who I can reach out to and lean on if I need more information. So you can look forward to that in the future, maybe. But yeah, that's everything this week. That's the whole series. Hope you guys liked it. You can find everything at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. Feel free to check us out anytime.
Yeah, we're going to have links to several books and several products that we talked about during this whole interview series, so please check those out on the website. You can find us basically anywhere podcasts are found: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy, healthy week.